It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, I opened my email today and you said you wanted to talk about a subject we've never talked about before. So that's always fresh and exciting. Yeah. And it's something that's very much top of mind and in the news a lot these days, and intrigued you because you did some kind of a seminar recently where someone just you've heard the term talk to the hand, and it just said, talk to the AI, talk to the chat, but you know. So that's what we're talking about today, AI psychosis. I had no idea this was even an issue as far as a mental health discovery, but you're saying it is.
Well, it's not exactly a diagnosis yet.
Yeah.
It'll probably show up in the next DSM, the next revision of the DSM.
Mm-hmm.
It struck me. A couple of things came together as we were talking before the show. I think we've all had these experiences where we're in a conversation with somebody and they're doing split time between paying attention to you, but also got one eye on the cell phone.
Right.
It's a bit demeaning. The dictionary definition of despise is to think over and think around. And so sometimes when you're in a conversation with or something like that with somebody and they just kind of go silent and they're not paying attention anymore, you feel despised. There's a big picture question here. What is going on in our society? What is going on? And so we've had this knowledge, understanding that screen time is taking the time of real time. And so depending or reliance upon those kinds of things is not good for the brain. There's a thing called brain rot, and we'll get into AI here because this applies, I think, directly to AI. The more we rely on some of these think tools, the less work our brains do, and the less work our brains do, the less work our brains will be capable of doing, and so. It leads to a kind of isolation, some of these things, social media and things like that. Again, we'll get into AI in just a second here, but this reliance on those things, unused brain cells lose functionality. And that's what they call brain rot, where if cells in your brain aren't talking to one another and the various uses of your brain is what exercises those areas of your brain, and so those brain cells, if they're not exercised, then they lose their functionality.
Just a personal thing, maybe for people who are older, wasn't this same kind of thing concerned with the introduction of like the pocket calculator back in our day? We were worried that if everybody had a calculator, they weren't really going to learn math anymore. And for me, it maybe was the case because I lost it with math about when I hit algebra or calculus. I don't know if it was because I had a calculator or what. Isn't that kind of the same principle? If you start it is
the same principle. I just think it's getting more. That was one area of the brain, but some of these social media things.
Yeah, that's a whole other level. Yeah.
They begin to take over more of your brain and more of your brain, not just calculations like mathematical calculations. You know, they used to have the slide rule. And now, you know, when I took my stats course in school, I was surprised at how simple it was because the problem told you what buttons to push, and you had the scientific calculator there, and you're just pushing the buttons, and they come up with the answers, and you're not doing any mathematics anymore.
Right, not doing any thinking. Yeah,
you're doing less of it, and so a different kind of thinking, or not as much of it, and so these new social media things, and this particularly AI now, you can get really good at AI. But you're not using a lot of the brain. And an example was in this Bible study that we were doing and going through a particular book. And as the book was taking a direction, and I was saying direction the book is taking was incorrect. And so I was opening a discussion on that. And this one person just went to their phone and went to their GPT, and piped up and said, this is what the chapter's about.
What, and just held up the phone. This, you know, message solved, question solved, next.
Yeah, and this is what the chapter's about. Okay, well, that wasn't all the chapter was about. That was what AI thought was most important about the chapter. But it sort of put a kibosh on the whole discussion because the attitude was, well, okay, then I guess that's it. I guess that's what the chapter's about. And so it got me thinking about this whole idea of what was replaced there by that little interruption with the chat bot. What was replaced? All of our thinking, all of our interaction, our reasoning, our rationale, scripture search, all that was just kind of pushed aside because you've already read the, it was almost like looking at the end of the story before you read the rest of the book. Well, what's the point in having the discussion now if that's true? But was it true? I mean, who wrote that? People use AI as though it's a bank of information, but it's not a bank of information. It's information that somebody built. Who built it? How did they build it? And why did they build it? And why did they keep building it? There's got to be money involved. It isn't just it's free, and I don't understand how they're getting money here. But these things, I counted 26 AI bots. There might be more, and there's an industry called AI influencers that's growing like it's out of this world.
Anybody who spends any time on Facebook or Instagram, Instagram seems to be completely overtaken by AI influencers, AI images, people that aren't real. Movie scenes. There's a lot of caricatures of political things going on that are completely done in AI. Some of it's hilarious. I mean, it is so obvious that it's fake, but still, it's just saturation.
Yeah, and YouTube is just full of people who are making money teaching people how to influence AI to do exactly the same thing that you're talking about. How to go in. Use the tools of AI, create your own clips, your own, and you can see the applications are broad. You know, you could, for example, go in and create a whole, a world of models wearing different kinds of clothes, and that could be the advertisement used by Bon Marché or Macy's, or I don't even know if Bon Marché is around anymore. I'm dating myself.
But, well, it's Macy's now, yeah.
Macy's or any of the and I suppose you could get money that way. Or some of the people are just making money by selling, you know, by making YouTube clips about how to do AI.
Yeah. What about as it affects your industry too, and I've heard even AI preachers, AI counselors, they log in and they bypass Daniel Pryor and they have their Daniel Pryor avatar that they talk to and pulls all the information, the best psychoanalyst, you know, the best psychological answers and counseling, and they get their counseling from a machine.
Yeah. And see, that's where it gets dangerous because everybody doesn't use AI that way, but AI subtly gets into your head. But that's where what they call the AI psychosis really gets dangerous, because now you're using AI not as a machine tool, but you're starting to use it as a friend, another personality, and that's going to lead into this kind of isolation. Which is going to bring, isolation is responsible for emotional desensitization, cognitive overload, dementia. It's associated with some very negative things, negative self-concept things, those kinds of things. So a lot of people use AI without realizing it, like Siri, Alexia, Bixby, those kinds of things. Siri, what's the best recipe for such and such?
Right.
Very innocent stuff.
Right.
But when we're talking about When we're talking about getting certain kinds of advice from AI, and one of the things about you mentioned the sermons. Let's take that first. Sermons. If we're doing like some engineering stuff, I know that some people who are going through classes now in college, where it's different than when I was in college. But if you have your cell phone in college and you're taking an exam, you can answer a lot of the questions just by going to AI.
Yeah.
And I know that there are students that do that, and I know that there are professors that discourage it, but they can't stop it. This is like they're not using their brain anymore. They're using AI.
Mm.
And so at some point, you know, give AI 50 years, 100 years, is there going to be any real intelligence anymore, or is it all going to be artificial intelligence? And at that point, who's done all the input? It's going to be just this homogenous field of, you know, one of the reasons I think that AI, the popularity of AI shot up was because there were so many voices on social media and so many opinions that people were starved for a single opinion.
Mm.
But now it's kind of beginning to evolve into, like I said, some 26 or more AI voices, there's a lot of people suggesting that, well, if you really want the truth, you've got to compare the AI voices. Well, now we're back to what was wrong with comparing opinions.
Mm.
Now we're comparing opinions of opinions of opinions, and we haven't gotten any farther ahead. But let me get back to your question when we get back from the break, and I want to talk about things like books and books and sermons and social interaction, and also just that's things like as serious as counseling,
yeah, now being done by chatbots. And
yeah,
well, that's a huge discussion. We're just kind of scratching the surface with today's show on AI psychosis, a new not official diagnosis of a problem, but we think it's
soon
coming.
Soon to be.
Okay, Daniel Pryor, he would like to help you with an issue that's going on in your life, counseling, marriage counseling, whatever is going on. He would love to help. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
So the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. The website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. People contact me through the website and also listen to radio podcasts at the website, 425-778-6169.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at an interesting kind of subject I think we're all being touched by more than we realize, AI, and something Dan's concerned about called AI psychosis. Not an official DSM diagnosis yet, but we think it's coming because people are depending on AI more and more in very strange ways that we think are really going to have an impact on mental health.
Yeah, that term AI psychosis is an actual term now. It's being used by people, psychiatrists, psychologists that are studying this. It's not in the DSM, but it probably will be when they do a text revision. I think we're on the DSM-5 now, there should be a text revision coming out before too long. And I'm sure that there will be something like an AI psychosis and probably more on social media psychosis. But yeah, the AI psychosis. So AI can have some benefits. And we were talking about some more like mathematical things. You know, you could even cheat on your homework with AI. But it has some objective kinds of information, but a lot of the information is subjective, and particularly when you get off into areas of when you get socially involved with AI or you spiritually involved. In fact, I was going to read, you know, what is behind AI in the first place? Obviously, this is not just a machine that generated information on its own. The machine is being directed to, the machine is like a complex robot. It is being created to do certain things. And I'm reading this out of an article in Psychology Today, but it was written by Marilyn Weld, doctor. AI models like ChatGPT are trained to mirror the user's language, tone, validate and affirm the user's beliefs, generate continued prompts to maintain conversation and prioritize continuity, engagement, and user satisfaction. So it's a hook. It pulls you in. And I can even attest to the fact that I you know, the only way I use AI is I will, if I'm on my computer doing a Bible study or writing an article or something, and I'll have my cell phone beside me, and I use them both. I use my cell phone for looking up scripture passages in interlinear, so I can get the Greek and the Hebrew, et cetera, et cetera. So I use it a lot that way. But sometimes I'll have something in mind like Jacob and Esau. And I go, what chapter was that in? And I'll quickly Google Jacob and Esau, and AI will have Genesis something, 5, something, whatever that was. And I won't read what AI says about it, because AI is the opinion of, is not the opinion of some born, this is not a theological opinion. I don't know who put that opinion out there, and I don't know why, and I don't know how. I don't trust it at all. So I looked. So now I scroll down, and I get Google, and I type in the reference, and I bring up the English Standard Version or the Interlinear or something like that. That's all I use AI for. I don't trust AI. I will get something out of it, or I might say, for example, the other day I typed in 7:38:55. And it came up with what I, you know, it came up with enough of it, you know, the set, you know, this is like a myth about conversation, how 7% is words, 38% is tone, and 55% is
body language. Yeah.
But it had to do with a myth. It was only for a certain kind of continuity. But anyway, could use AI to just type in a certain thing, and gives me that, because I'm looking for a specific thing and I'm not looking for their opinion or their belief or their rationale. I just want a Bible reference, a reference to something, so that I can go down and research it. So, but we get pulled in. But I could even say that, and I've had friends that say, you know, they checked an AI, you know, was Jesus God, or is the Bible true? And it tends to confirm their sense that the Bible is true, or something like that. And they take it personally without realizing it. They take it because it affirms this. There was a kind of a progress here. The first stage is that the user interacts or initiates some what they call a mundane reflective task. You know, is there any truth to John 3:16 or something like that? And then the AI validates. Sometimes the AI will disagree, but it will do it in a very respectful kind of drawing way, because it's already trying to, through algorithms, kind of get a sense of what you really want from AI. So it begins to draw them in that way. And then AI gradually begins to align with the person's, with the user's opinions more and more. And then finally, the person begins to do what they call an epistemic drift, where they begin to think as AI begins to affirm their opinions, they begin to feel more right and more right and more right, even though their friends and their family and other people might be disagreeing with them. They insist on it because they're getting this out of AI, mm-hmm. who they see now as the final authority.
Yeah, the AI is reinforcing the worldview that they want. Everybody is getting more and more. And we were worried about people getting into their own bubble, but boy, this is making that bubble ironclad almost for people.
Yeah.
I think older people, though, can handle this maybe a little bit more. But boy, young people, they're all in on this way of learning and this way of interacting.
Yeah. And then you get into the question of, you know, who's writing the AI material, who's building that machine. And then you have people out there with different opinions. So I know that I've heard from, one friend that said that he uses AI to kind of help him organize his sermons. Mm. But he's played around with AI a bit. I've got a couple of friends like that that played around with AI a little bit.
Tell me a little, what is your understanding then of the way what's called an algorithm, which is kind of like a form of AI, isn't it? This is how some websites, browsers, even your cell phone learns about you, feeds you the kind of advertising that it thinks you probably will bite on. That's called an algorithm. Was that the beginning stages of this kind of AI stuff?
Well, the AI is just using all that. AI, what they've done, the people that are building these chatbots, is they're using the technology that's always been there. They're just taking it further
to the next level.
You know, if you can learn about it. And so here's the thing. At some point, if we stop reasoning and we start relying on AI, at some point, and this is kind of the dark side of my thinking about why would people do this in the first place? Because there are big investors have to be investing in these things. And so a lot of them are linked with there are some that seem to be somewhat independent, but like you've got ChatGPT or Open, which is kind of like a free, was sort of like the grandfather of it. But again, who wrote it? How and why? And then you've got Gemini. Well, that's Google. So okay, I can kind of see why Google wants that one popularized, because now you're going to be using Google more. There's MS or Microsoft has Pilot. Mm-hmm. Facebook has Meta. So some of these are associated with these kinds of platforms, but some of them seem to be generated by just independence. So why are people putting money into these things? And there's got to be an end to the story somewhere. Mm-hmm. But you can see how that if people began to just rely on AI, at some point, people could be told anything.
Yeah.
And they would no longer know how
to think any other way. Yeah, to think any other way. Yeah. Yeah. It is scary. It's, well, you're calling it AI psychosis. Maybe get into this again on another show as well. But
certainly.
It's certainly wetting our whistle with this. We can kind of sense that this kind of stuff is kind of a slow creep, like you say, a brain rot that's infesting our society, and we need to stand against it with our own relationship with God and with God's word.
Again, there's enough good in it that people slowly get pulled into dependence upon it. But again, the more I depend on that thing to do my thinking for me, the less my brain is going to be able to do its own thinking. And so that could be dangerous. So next time we'll talk more about the psychosis. We didn't really get into that this time. But
okay. Yeah, we're just kind of getting our mind around it just with this episode. Okay, so people are intrigued, though, and they want to talk to a real person. Although it is virtual, you are on Zoom for everybody now. But you are
not AI.
It's really you there on the screen. So how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also contact me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you find these podcasts. Again, 425-778-6169.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.